with us any match after any match after. Maybe we should try to start. DJ, how much time do you think that we need for presentation? We're starting with Mr. Mara.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, members. We've got the development indicators up, but we can change and start with the midterm if you prefer.
We can continue with the development indicators. I have that in my mind. I thought that was starting with. But let's continue. But how much time do you? I guess not a very long one. You don't mind if we start with the midterm? Please.
No problem, Chairperson. The midterm review presentation will be, we think, about 30 or 40 minutes. And the development indicators presentation will be a bit shorter, about 25 or 30 minutes. That's all Mawazi is setting up. I can introduce our team here. I'm Sean Phillips, the DG of the department. The presentation on the midterm review is going to be made by Mawazi Garza. She's our DDG for our Outcomes Monitoring and Evaluation Branch. And the presentation on the development indicators will be made by Renette Engler, who's our DDG for what we call the Data Branch. I forget the formal. There's another more technical formal name for it. And then on Renette's right is Caroline Mangwani. She's from my office. And we also have with us Batista Mafana, who's the Parliamentary Officer from the Ministry.
Do you want to make your formal apologies for the Minister?
Thank you. Batista, perhaps if you can assist. I'm not sure if the Deputy Minister is coming later or... But the Minister, as members will be aware, has been assigned by the President to lead the team which has gone to Northwest Province to assist with issues related to the Marikana tragedy. So unfortunately he can't be here today.
Good morning. The Deputy Minister is having another engagement in Pretoria this morning. Was not going to attend this morning's meeting, in short. So we will be in Parliament at 2:30.
So you were not meant to be here?
Yes, because of the engagement.
Honourable Member, thank you very much for the opportunity.
No, I'm raising this because I spoke to the Minister and the understanding was that I think it was before the tragedy was that the Minister, they would have loved to present their answer. So, it's fine.
Honourable Member, thank you very much for the opportunity to present on the midterm review of the priorities of government. Essentially, November 2011 was the midpoint Essentially, November 2011 was the midpoint of the 2009-2014 electoral term. So mine is to present progress as at that period in time, in terms of how we were performing regarding meeting priority outcomes of government. What we have in front of us, honourable members, is the presentation, and we've also circulated the narrative. So the presentation I will present today is a high-level overview. The detail around the progress and challenges encountered is reflected at length in the narrative courses, and I believe all members of the courses are present. What we have sought to do is to cover all of the 12 outcomes of government, with a particular focus on the five main priorities. And so, for the purposes of this presentation, I will essentially provide highlights, focusing on progress that we've made, and highlight the challenges in terms of the work of government. What we sought to do as DPME is to provide a balanced and frank assessment of our progress, and essentially to contribute towards the culture of developing of ensuring that there is continuous improvement and accountable and transparent government. I will start with education and skills. The plan was to combine both outcomes 1 and 5, given the interlinkages between the two. What we assess progress to be for the education and skills progress is around a specific set of outputs. So essentially around the issue of improving quality of basic education, our view is that at the point of the midterm, that good progress had been made in terms of ensuring that there was an increased number of children benefiting from early childhood development. We are also of the view that grade R enrollment had also doubled between 2003 and 2010. Good progress had also been made regarding workbooks that were developed, although, as I will indicate earlier on, there were some challenges around the textbook issue. Our view is also that grade 12 percentage passes had increased in 2011, but the challenge is that there were fewer learners passing at bachelor's level, and there were fewer learners passing maths. Good progress had also been made in terms of ensuring that there were measures in place for addressing teacher quality. And in terms of the review, the assessment was that 70% of the learners were now covered in no-fee schools. Regarding the problem of unemployed and unskilled youth, the achievements made included the following. There's increased enrollment of adult learners for adult basic education and training. Our view is also that there's increased enrollment at FET colleges, but as I will mention earlier on, our view is that there are challenges in this regard, especially regarding the quality of FET management. The National Senior Certificate for Adults to meet university entry requirements registered was also showing progress being made, but curriculum development was delayed. Regarding the provision of skills required by the economy, the number of unemployed workers and learners entering learnership has also exceeded targets. Approximately 11,335 citizen learners entered training, exceeding the target that has been set for 2011. The target for new teachers, honors, and also for honors, masters, and doctoral graduates will also be met in 2012, is our assessment. Sorry, 2014. Thank you, teachers. So like with all of the outcomes, we basically present an indication of progress that has been made upfront, and then the next set of slides is an indication from our perspective of what should be the recommended focus to address some of the challenges. Essentially around quality of basic education, our view is that for the remainder of the term, significant strides must be made to ensure that we improve quality and coverage of early childhood development. Secondly, our view is that the literacy and numeracy levels in lower grades must be improved. If you look at the midterm review, it gives an indication of just how poorly we perform in this regard, using the annual national assessment as a basis for determining the work that still needs to be done in this regard. There is also a need to focus on supporting teachers to be able to teach in English as a second language at earlier grades, which is critical for this particular foundation phase. Given the challenges I alluded to earlier on around the passing of math, our view is that for the remainder of the term, we must address quality and performance in math and science physics much earlier in the system rather than later. This is an issue that's also been very much in the public domain, but essentially we believe that for the remainder of the term, there must be improvements made in terms of ensuring that there is timely delivery of workbooks and textbooks. And that there is also a need to also monitor the use of workbooks within the school system. In line with the recommendations made even as early as the education roadmap, we are needing to focus on monitoring teacher attendance and teachers' coverage of the curriculum. There are significant challenges identified around under expenditure of education infrastructure budget, and also there's the remaining challenge of mass schools in a select number of provinces, and our view is that this must be a priority focus for the remainder of the term. There's also a need to assess the impact of teacher development initiatives and ensure that unions are engaged, because our view is that in provinces, for example, like the Eastern Cape, there have been challenges in this regard. We are also of the view that we need to increase the number of learners that are passing at bachelor's level. An additional recommendation we make is that we do need to, beyond the provision of honor school results only in the schools and in the district systems, but we believe that for the remainder of the term, the focus must be on ensuring that honor school results are publicly available, so that both parents and school teachers and management must monitor performance, and also to bring in an element of peer review and encourage improvements in performance. We believe there must also be a targeted intervention in underperforming schools, and essentially if we've got a benchmark for assessing performance, as I just mentioned earlier on, that could be used as a point of departure. School management is also an important area of concern for the remainder of the term, especially for the weak performing schools. This recommendation we make primarily because recent work done in the area, including ours, suggests that school management is a critical success factor for ensuring that we improve the quality of basic education. Regarding the problem of unemployed and unskilled youth, our view is that for the remainder of the term, we must intensify efforts to improve quality of service and management provided in FET colleges. The last set of slides, I must apologize for, as I realize that they are a little bit hidden. But essentially what we are saying is that we are needing to accelerate the enrollment and throughput rate for students at tertiary level, especially for engineering and health science, because we believe there are challenges in this regard. Moving on to the health outcomes, what we are saying here is that in terms of combating HIV and AIDS and TB, the country has made significant strides. Most importantly, our view is that during the electoral term, the number of people living with HIV has stabilized. We have got one of the most successful programs for reducing mother-to-child transmission. If we compare the transmission rate in 2008, it was sitting at 8%, but as of 2011, we were recording levels of 3.5%. Members would have noted that by 2012, this transmission rate had gone even lower. We report that we are now sitting at a transmission rate of as low as 2.7%, thus ensuring that more babies are saved from infection and later on illness and mortality. We believe good progress has been made in terms of ensuring that there is health-seeking behavior among South Africans. Since the launch of the counseling and testing campaign in 2010, more than the targeted 15 million people have come forward for testing. And also beyond the testing, people have been linked to care. At this point in time, there is a reported 1.7 million people who are receiving antiretroviral therapy, which is up from 1.1 million in 2009. This is essentially one of the largest ARV programs in the world, and we believe that this is commendable. The cost of ARV drugs has also been halved, figures totaling almost about $5.5 billion have been reported for this. But essentially what this means is that we are then able as a country to treat more people within the same resource envelope, which is critical given the recent policy shift to say that we need to put in, initiate people on ARV treatment when they are at a city for count of 350, which is up from the earlier city for count of 200. 8 million people have been tested for TB, and the cure rate is improving. It reached the 70% mark in 2010 for the first time in a very long time. And also the defaulter rates are also showing signs of decline. Regarding maternal and child health, our view here is that generally there are challenges. However, there is an increased percentage of mothers and babies presenting for antenatal care earlier than we had reported or earlier than we were having in previous years. And the main cause for maternal health is related very much to the extent to which people present for antenatal care and are also linked to postnatal care after delivery. And we are seeing some early signs of progress in this regard, but our view is that more needs to be done to ensure that we really reduce the rate at which mothers die while giving birth. Secondly, regarding immunization coverage, especially for children, our view is that we have made progress regarding the immunization coverage for diarrhea and pneumonia, which are critical contributors to child mortality. The 70% immunization coverage rate might not seem very high, but if we consider that these vaccines were introduced in 2009, our view is that good progress is being made in this regard. However, in regard to expanded immunization coverage for all your other vaccines, our view is that more needs to be done to ensure that we meet the target of 95% coverage. Cervical cancer screening rate has also increased from less than 40% in 2009 to 57% in 2011. When we look at the health sector in totality, we could say that the primary success has been around HIV and AIDS and TB. And given the linkages that this has with child and maternal health, certainly the progress made in this regard is commendable. But the main cause for concern in the health sector is the extent to which the health system is effective enough to be able to assist us to meet the overall outcome or vision of a long and healthy life for South Africans. And generally in the public domain, there are significant concerns around the effectiveness of the health system. So we are of the view that at this point in time, good progress has been made towards the establishment of NHI as one of the mechanisms for ensuring that we address the inequitable and fragmented health system, and to ensure that people are attended to on the basis of need rather than being able to afford health care. Good progress has also been made towards establishing the Office of Health Standards Compliance. Certainly, this is not yet a full act, but our view is that it's good progress in the sense that all of the health facilities can be measured on the basis of the extent to which they qualify or they comply with the quality norms and standards that have been established. The sector, as well as at the time of compiling this midterm review, had audited service quality in over 75% of all public health facilities, and improvement plans were being developed to address all of the gaps identified. As you may know, this figure has since improved and more facilities have been audited. A human resource strategy has also been developed for the health sector, the first of its kind in a long time. The country had only had a human resource policy up till now, and so the progress made with regard to human resource should be commended, given that health professionals are the backbone of good quality health care. Training plans are also in place to ensure that hospital managers meet minimum competency requirements, with a specific focus on CEOs of all of the public health facilities. There's also been good progress made in terms of re-engineering the healthcare delivery model. Members will be aware that until recently, the country has had a curative hospital-centric approach whereby the health system waited for people to come to facilities for healthcare. The intention now is to take health to the people and focus more on health promotion, health prevention, and couple that with improvements in the hospital system, as I've just indicated. There's also been an audit of all 122 colleges, and when we completed the report, 45 of the targeted 105 were refurbished. What we recommend as focus for the remainder of the term is that there is a need to implement a comprehensive information system to track people on antiretroviral treatment. While it is commendable that so many people are on treatment, we do need to strengthen the information system so that we know how many of these 1.7 are still on treatment, how many have passed on, what the reasons for that are, so that timely interventions can be implemented. There's also a need to intensify prevention of HIV and AIDS and TB, and also ensure that the services are integrated for these two epidemics. This is underscored in the National Strategic Plan on HIV and AIDS and TB, which was launched last year. Our view as well is that there is an alarming increase in non-communicable diseases in our country, a significant contributor to life expectancy, with heart conditions being a major cause for concern, combined with diabetes and others. There's also an alarming increase in injuries and violence, which are contributing to the life expectancy of our people. And the socioeconomic determinants of health, such as poverty and poor water and sanitation, are also contributing to high levels of child mortality in particular. And we recommend that for the remainder of the term, there is a need to intensify multisectoral focus in this area. We also propose that there is a need to intensify focus on child nutrition and ensure that we meet the 90% target of deliveries that take place in health facilities. Whilst we recommend the progress that has been made in terms of auditing health facilities against quality service, we believe that for the remainder of the term, there must be an acceleration of service quality improvement plans throughout the country. To address issues around throughput of health professionals and also the adequacy of health professionals in general, we recommend that there be joint planning between health and higher education and academic institutions to ensure that we've got adequate numbers of doctors, pharmacists, and nurses. Whilst there has been some early progress in this regard, we believe this can be accelerated. We also recommend that there is a need to consider moving funding and management of the 10 central hospitals to national level. This is essentially, members, to address issues around provincial inequities, where provinces like Mpumalanga and Limpopo still tend to rely on other provinces for accessing almost tertiary level type of care, and where more often than not they cannot afford this type of care. So we believe that if this is placed at national level, it would help address this inequity. We do believe that for the remainder of the term, the performance of the national health laboratory system must be, services must be improved. We are of the view that under expenditure on health infrastructure is being addressed. Certainly in recent reports, health has reported progress in this regard, but we believe that this must be accelerated with specific reference to maintenance. We recommend that financial and supply chain management challenges in health departments be addressed as a matter of urgency. Whilst we note that there is progress being made in this regard, we are of the view that this could be accelerated. Essentially for the health sector, the view that we present in the midterm review is that good progress is being made to transform the health sector, and this is largely attributed to political leadership or stewardship. But we are of the view that for the remainder of the term, this momentum must be maintained, because although we are reporting good progress, our view is that South Africa's performance on health indicators is still very poor by international standards, given the amount of money or investment and expenditure that is placed on the health sector. these first two or three outcomes are quite a mouthful, Chairperson, and I wonder whether I shouldn't pause for a moment and see whether there are any clarification questions before I proceed to jobs and security. I'm reluctant to have my voice droning on and on just in case there might be some questions of security.
Honourable members, what do we do? Do we allow her to the process? I think the suggestion is that you continue. But let's just have a full presentation because we're going to have time constraints once we start engaging.
The DJ is being arrested by the outcome facilitator for crime and corruption. Thank you. So moving along to the crime and corruption outcome. Our view is that there has been good progress made in terms of reducing overall levels of serious crime, with specific reference to context and jail crime. For example, overall serious crime decreased from 3,872 to 3,680 per 100,000 of the population. Murder, attempted murder, carjackings, and house robberies have also decreased, but there's been marginal increase in business robberies. Our view, confirmed by various surveys, is that there are perceptions of management of crime among citizens have improved. Most people are of the view that much more is being done to address crime in recent times. Regarding improvements of the effectiveness of the CJS cluster, our view is that the detection rates for concept and jail crimes are increasing, and then there's also been improvements as well in terms of case backlog, which were immense at the start of this term. Regarding corruption and efforts to combat corruption, approximately 1,529 people who were corrupt in the criminal justice system were investigated. Of these, 192 officials were criminally charged, 86 convicted, and 296 were departmentally charged between April and September 2011. 56 suspects with illegally obtained assets of more than 5 million were also investigated, and 26 of these have appeared in court, but no convictions have yet been made. And essentially, assets worth about 580 million of 19 individuals were restrained. There's also been progress made in terms of 255 other corruption-related convictions made from April 2011 to date. And lastly, 23 presidential proclamations have been made since 2009 for the Special Investigations Unit to investigate corruption cases. And then lastly, regarding victim support, our view is that progress has been made in terms of establishing Tutuzela care centers and victim support rooms at police stations, a cause for great concern until recently. Going forward, our view is that although we report that good progress has been made in terms of reducing overall serious crime, we pose the question of whether the target which was set at the beginning of 2009 might not have been too low. So the recommendation we've made within the context of our engagements with the technical, with the implementation forum for the delivery agreement is for there to be a revision of this target to ensure that we accelerate progress for the remainder of the term. We make a recommendation as well for the alignment of ICT systems and integration thereof to make sure that CJS is efficient. We believe that although the backlog is being addressed, there are opportunities for us to speed up finalization of cases in the court. And there's also a need, which has also been very much in the public domain, given recent concerns, to improve investigative and prosecutorial capacities in the country. Regarding monitoring parolee reoffending and rehabilitation in general, our view is that for the remainder of the term, we need to increase involvement of perpetrators of serious crimes in rehabilitation, a matter of great concern. And then secondly, that we need to track reoffending by perpetrators of serious crimes, especially when these are released on parole. We also need to ensure that victims are involved in parole hearings, and we make improvements in this regard. Regarding victim support, our view is that we should increase the number of victims who attend parole hearings, and that we must assess the quality of services that are offered at Tutuzela care centers and victim support rooms. And then lastly, in terms of combating corruption, we strongly recommend that we improve the quality and number of prosecutors, forensic and financial investigators in support of the anti-corruption task team so that we increase the chances of securing convictions. And then lastly, the recommendation we make in this regard is that we ensure that there is a single coordination point for existing anti-corruption structures. When we did the review, our view is that there were a range of anti-corruption structures and we needed to facilitate a coordination in this regard. Regarding the job outcomes, we believe that there's been advances made in terms of coordination around growth strategies, with, in particular, the new growth path and also stakeholder agreement, and then most recently also the National Development Plan. There's also been progress regarding the promotion of labor-absorbing growth. Essentially within the industrial developmental space, with specific reference to manufacturing, mineral products, procurement reform, and the jobs fund. We believe that good progress has been made in terms of improving competitiveness and reducing costs of doing business. Essentially, good progress has been made in terms of the IPEP, minerals beneficiation, the altos, clothing, solar water heating, and renewable energy. Although the communications costs are declining, our view is that the electricity and transport prices are on the increase, and this is a challenge that needs to be addressed. There is also strong action by competition authorities spanning across a whole range of sectors to include food production, fertilizers, construction, and of course in recent times even spending as far as the health sector. And then lastly, a business case has been prepared to expand the community work program to 1 million per annum, and we believe that's a good progress. For the remainder of the term, for this outcome, what we propose is that there is ongoing implementation of the new growth path and related strategies. As I mentioned earlier on, the issue of electricity and transport costs must be accelerated. We believe that there is a need for decisions on youth employment programs to be accelerated and implemented. This has also been very much in the public domain in recent times, and we raise concerns around the impact regarding issues around the youth wage subsidy. We believe that the research and development is stagnating. We are certainly not meeting commitments made in this regard globally, and we believe that this should be addressed. The SME support programs must also be supported, mainly to ensure that the impact is improved or more meaningful. We believe that there must be more systematic monitoring of implementation of microeconomic reforms, especially with regard to issues around municipal permits and licensing and building approvals and work permits. We believe that the business case that I referred to earlier on around the expansion of the community work program should be implemented, and there is also a need to improve a capacity in government to oversee this work program. Certainly, there's been some progress made in this regard, especially coordinated from also the Office of the Deputy President, but our view is that this could be accelerated. There is also a need to really accelerate preparations for risk of slow global growth and to reduce potential impacts of immediate risk of higher food prices, review policies which allow sharp food price fluctuations. And then lastly, there is a need to improve coordination of jobs initiatives across departments. Moving on to the economic infrastructure. Most of the short-term priorities that have been set for this particular outcome related to the need for policy and legislative framework, that work that needed to be done. So essentially, if you look at our work in this regard, you will see that we speak a lot about ensuring that there is good policy work being done around transport, around electricity, around a huge range of components of this economic infrastructure. But we certainly feel that the creation of an independent system operator or the work that's being done in this regard is cause for celebration, certainly because this allows for participation by independent power producers and so forth. Our view is that Medupi, as members are aware, is a little bit behind schedule, while Kusile is ahead of schedule. And essentially the issue is that this needs to be fast-tracked given the electricity deficits or challenges that our country is facing. In terms of logistics, with a particular focus on road, rail and ports, we feel that there's been progress made, essentially around Transnet. We feel good progress has been made around container terminals. The locomotive acquisition program is also on track, and good progress is being made regarding national roads, but affordability of tolls is a key challenge, and it's an issue that we reflect on in the narrative, especially against the backdrop of challenges that have been in the public domain in this regard, especially within the Gauteng province. Our view is that some good progress has been made regarding the water augmentation scheme, and rehabilitation of 9 out of 25 dams has been completed. Although we've made good progress in terms of water licenses, our view is that there's very little progress that has been made in terms of ensuring that there's equitable water pricing and that there's clarity in terms of funding models that would be used to address this issue. Regarding ICT, the wholesale broadband price has dropped by 73% during the reporting period. Local loop unbundling with different providers on same telephone lines has good progress has been made in this regard. And as members would be aware, there is currently 60% digital television broadcasting coverage, and there's been good strides made in this regard in recent times. Pronouncements from the Department of Communications. There's also improvements made in terms of coordination of the infrastructure build program, primarily through the PICC. Essentially what we have through this program is political coordination of what is essentially a huge infrastructure program. What we have now as well is that project plans are clustered and they are sequenced and they are prioritized into a project pipeline. And through this commission, work is being done to coordinate work with departments, which are the challenges. For the remainder of the term, our view is that there must be a particular focus on establishing the ISO that I referred to earlier on. There must be good progress made in terms of establishing a single transport regulator, and we do need to increase private sector participation in rail and port. As I mentioned earlier on, there are challenges around the Medupi program, and we recommend that for the remainder of the term, this must be monitored, that we really promote cogeneration options, that we accelerate integration of renewable energy, and accelerate demand-side savings. Regarding logistics, we recommend that for the remainder of the term, we further improve port productivity beyond the reported levels, and that we address the issue of affordability of road tolls. Regarding the water component of this particular priority, we recommend that we ensure progress on equitable water pricing strategy, that funding models are concluded, and that institutional structures for water infrastructure delivery and maintenance are attended to. Regarding the ICT component, We believe that the remainder of the term must primarily focus on the ICT connections of 125 Dinaledi and district schools, and that we finalize and implement the national broadband plan. Since the compilation of this review, good progress has been made regarding the digital TV implementation program, as I mentioned earlier on, a process that's been spearheaded by the Department of Communication. And then lastly, we believe that there must be new institutional mechanisms at administrative level to properly sequence and coordinate the delivery of strategic integrated programs. Our view, well, my view personally, is that since the writing of this review, some progress has been made in this regard, although more needs to be done. Regarding rural development, we believe that the main achievement here is that there is a rural champion. There's a rural champion created through the establishment of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. And that essentially, there has also been good progress in terms of developing appropriate service delivery models for remote rural areas. These have been done across the sectors of energy and health, where we see instances where rural communities have access to solar power, and they also access mobile clinics. But our view is that they should be introduced more widely. The Comprehensive Rural Development Program also reached 80 wards, but our view is that the cost per household of this program is very high. And our view is also that this program also does tend to be project-based, and we make specific recommendations in the review about how this can be improved. Regarding agrarian reform and improving access to food, the Land Acquisition and Redistribution Program reports some progress, but our view is that this program, together with the restitution program, require more acceleration, and we acknowledge that in the report. Overall, though, at the reporting time, 6.7 million hectares had been transferred to blacks between 1994 and 2011. And as has been discussed widely in recent times, much more needs to be done to fast track this. The recapitalization program is benefiting 595 farms. Progress, yes, but our view is that this should also be strengthened and accelerated. Regarding rural job creation, through the National Rural Youth Service Corps, 5,340 youth were trained in 2010, but rural employment levels are significantly lower than in 2009. And our view is that much more needs to be done to accelerate rural employment. Going forward, we strongly recommend that a policy and strategy on rural development is developed, that we evaluate the Comprehensive Rural Development Program and the piloting thereof. If I could say here, Chairperson, the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation is in discussions with the Department of Rural Development and other stakeholders to fast-track the evaluation of this program as part of our evaluation component in the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. We are also of the view that we do need to strengthen rural local government, given the capacity constraints that currently exist there. We are of the view that this is significant to ensure that rural development, rural areas have got the requisite access to basic services. We believe that we should also improve, that there should also be efforts to improve coordination and integration of different departments' work in rural areas, an area where we think there is currently a shortcoming. And our view is that perhaps rural development could play this role as further. Regarding agrarian reform and improving access to food, we recommend that the restitution and land transfer processes be speeded up, that post-settlement support to smallholders be increased beyond reported levels. There is a need to promote subsistence agriculture, and then that there's also a need to tackle high food prices. In recent times, there's also been good coverage of the cost of maize in the country and in the region, and our view is that this presents opportunities for this to be tackled and addressed. Regarding rural job creation, There needs to be an increased focus on agro-processing, mineral beneficiation, tourism, local purchasing and environmental services within the rural spaces and the opportunities that these present for rural job creation. Our view is that although the Community Works Program reports some progress, this needs to be expanded, especially in rural areas. Regarding human settlement, some progress has been made here, although our view is that similarly to the rural development and all of the other outcomes, there's areas for improvement. But essentially, regarding informal settlement upgrading, there are 83,000 service sites that were delivered by provinces as of September 2011. Certainly, this figure has gone up since we last concluded this midterm review. But there is concern about whether, as a country, we will be able to meet the target of reaching 400,000 households by 2014. Regarding rental housing, good progress has been made, especially around the creation of a good project pipeline, and we believe that this momentum should be maintained. Regarding accreditation and the role that municipalities can play in the human settlement space going forward, our view is that the outcome, or we are on track, especially given that 8 municipalities have been accredited to level 2. And we also believe that the fact that 16 municipalities have been assessed for compliance with a view of them playing an increased role is also good progress. The provincial gazetting process does need to be accelerated, however. Well-located state land has also been made available for integrated housing delivery, and we believe that this is commendable. Finance to the affordable housing market, essentially through the housing development financing institutions, about 122,000 loans were made available as of September 2011, which puts us on track at least for the SOE or government-owned component part of ensuring that they improved finance to the affordable housing market. The contribution of private banks is currently not yet being recorded by the National Department of Human Settlement. And at the time of the completion of this report, of this review, we were not really able to report on progress against the overall target of 600,000 loans that would have to come from private banks. So this is a matter that we recommend for focus for the remainder of the term. Our view is that certainly the Department of Human Settlement is making good progress in this regard in terms of engaging private banks, but we believe that this must be accelerated. Regarding recommendations for the remainder of the term, there's a need to accelerate integrated housing delivery. Essentially, our view is that we must accelerate progress regarding the support that the National Department of Human Settlement provides to the provinces and municipalities so that, one, they are able to map, categorize, and implement informal settlement upgrade plans in the 45 priority municipalities targeted for this purpose. There is also a need for a national rental policy that includes people who are backyard dwellers and also ensuring that there are proper regulations and allocation of responsibilities in this regard. As I mentioned earlier on, the gazetting at provincial level needs to be accelerated, and there's also a need to accelerate the full accreditation of this metro. There is a need to identify and release even more well-located state land to support higher densities. To do this, the Department of Human Settlements would have to conclude agreements with landholding government agencies and ensure that there is rapid land transfer, including the financing thereof. And then there's also a need to put in place a technical support agreements with municipalities and provinces for land transfer. Lastly, for this priority, we need to facilitate improvements in the affordable gap housing market. To do this, essentially what needs to be done is to complete the rationalization of housing development finance institutions which has been started. There is a need also to leverage on capacity and resources that reside within the DFI and ensure that support is given to provinces to develop mixed income and mixed use projects. There is a need also to monitor private banks' contribution to affordable housing markets, as I indicated earlier on, and there is lastly a need to accelerate this engagement with private banks to increase their role in the provision of affordable housing. Moving along to local government and basic services, what we are saying here is that in terms of progress, overall access to water is currently sitting at 94.5%, which means we will be on target for 2014. However, our view is that the functionality of infrastructure to ensure that people have got appropriate service remains cause for concern. The rate of delivery of the water infrastructure is also slowing down, essentially for more, you know, far-flung areas. And this is primarily because of the lack of bulk infrastructure, the lack of engineering expertise for maintenance and operation. In areas, for example, like Mthatha, what we've seen is that it's very much an issue around planning capacity and the sequencing of planning to ensure that it's well aligned to water, human settlement, and all that. Regarding refuse removal, basic level of refuse removal has risen to 72%, which suggests that we are on target for 2014. However, unpermitted landfill sites are a cause for concern, and the NDEA is working with provinces to address it. The next couple of slides just give an indication of how access to sanitation increased from 77% to 82%, but our view is that this is simply not on target for 2014, and we think the need to attend it. Regarding access to electricity, there's been improvement. It improved to 84% in 2011, but it is not on target for 2014 due to lack of generation capacity, lack of bulk infrastructure, and distribution network. So for the remainder of the term, what we recommend is that we put in place appropriate national institutional arrangements for coordinating delivery of basic services, that we improve basic service norms to reflect whether infrastructure is actually working. As I mentioned earlier on, while we have water infrastructure, it is not always a granted that this is a functional service. So a person may have a tap in their house, but the water might not be coming through. There's also a need to prepare and implement plans for delivery of basic services in the 22 districts within the highest backlog. Going forward, what we recommend is that to be able to ensure that people have got equitable access to basic services, there is a need to strengthen municipal capacity, an area of great concern, as evidenced even by the audit outcomes that have been released recently in this regard. So what we recommend going forward is that we need to implement appropriate planning, financing, and support to different categories of municipalities based on assessment of needs. And then we also need to expand the community works program to 1 million jobs. This is in line with comments I made earlier on when I presented on the job outcome. There is also a need to strengthen ward communities to develop and implement ward-level service delivery improvement plans, thus also ensuring community participation in service delivery. There is a need for focused interventions in the weakest municipalities, especially those that receive very poor audit results. There's also a need for municipalities to fill senior management and technical posts with capable and qualified staff. Our view is that recent audit results are worrying in this regard, where there's a report of very high levels of vacancies, and where people are on board, their capability and expertise is also cause for great concern. There is a need for more focus by provincial governments on fulfilling their constitutional and legislative mandate to support monitor and intervene in municipalities. In this regard, what I would like to highlight, members, is good progress, I think, being made in terms of the finalization of the intervention bill as a mechanism to facilitate intervention in municipalities and provinces that require intervention. Regarding environmental access and natural resources, Chairperson, I think I've got to say now about three outcomes left. It's this environmental one, and then it's the international relations one, and I believe the most important of them all, which is about public service and its efficiency and effectiveness. So if you could please bear with me just a little bit longer. It's a long presentation. I'm mindful of my voice going on and on. Thank you. Well, thank you, honourable member. We believe that good progress has been made in this regard. With regard to water, there's water use efficiency targets that have been set for the agricultural sector, a huge contributor or a main contributor to water efficiency issues. So the setting of targets is about helping to manage it. The matter of water use licensing backlogs has been significantly reduced. I think I referred to this matter when I was presenting on the economic infrastructure priority. There's also been 66 water supply systems awarded blue drop certification for 2010-2011 period, a good increase of 74% against the 2010. The number of wastewater treatment works that scored more than 50% in the green drop assessment also increased from 215 to 450 in 2011. The accelerated community infrastructure program also achieved 63 million cubic meters of water savings against a planned 3 million. Our view is that this is perhaps one of those that we need to revisit. As DPME, we've committed ourselves working with the relevant outcome coordinating departments to using emerging developments to always, at least on an annual basis, to revisit delivery agreements, to correct instances where there might have been low or under targeting, similarly to the issue I raised earlier on around the crime statistics and targets. The plans for addressing acid mine drainage are in place. Although, given recent developments, this remains cause for great concern. Our view is that it's that matter of ensuring that there is good alignment between plans and implementation, because there are still significant concerns in place about acid mine drainage. The National Air Quality Indicator shows marginal improvement. There's also an allocation of 42% renewable energy in the integrated resource plan, and there's been 28 preferred independent power producers announced. So some of the progress that I referred to in the economic infrastructure section has got a major bearing in this regard as an enabling process for ensuring that there's greater participation by IPPs. 200,000 solar heaters have been installed, notably 70% in rural areas. There's also a new biosphere reserve added to the conservation estate, and 30% of coast has partial protection against the target of 14% by 2014. And 307,731,000 work opportunities and full-time jobs have also been created through the environment and culture sector of the EPWP. I think that what we could also mention here, which I think we make a slight reference to in the review, is the role that South Africa has played in the environmental and natural resource management space, as evidenced by our hosting the COP17 and the strategic initiatives that are recommended going forward through that process. For the remainder of the term, we recommend that we expand the Blue Drop and Green Drop certification programs and raise the quality of water. Certainly what we want is more than
Long Drop.
And as I mentioned earlier on, once there have been plans developed for the acid mine drainage, our view is that implementation of this plan is a matter that needs to be fast-tracked. For the remainder of the term, we recommend the reduction in solid fuel burning in homes and managing vehicle emissions so that we meet what really are quite significant targets in terms of our COP17. Implementing white paper on climate change is also going to be very critical in order to ensure that we meet ambient air quality standards. We do need to also implement the projects that were approved and take forward the South African Renewables Initiative that was launched in COP17. There is also a need to ensure amendments to building regulations to promote energy efficiency are implemented. Certainly here the issue, I believe, is also about the individual ownership of the need to for all of us to contribute to this process. There is also a need to ensure that we implement a much more simplified EIA process for SMEs and centralized electronic system for tracking environmental authorization, which has been a cause for great concern. There is also a need to strengthen the National Wildlife Crime Reaction Unit to address poaching, including rhinos. And certainly members would have noted that the Department of Environmental Affairs is making good progress in this regard, enabled by, I think, or supported by civil society. And then there's also the need to consolidate the conservation efforts. Moving along to a better South Africa and a better and safer Africa in a better world, essentially we normally refer to this outcome as one of South Africa International Relations, it's the second line. Our view is that there's been good progress in terms of consolidating, in terms of the consolidation of the Africa agenda. The main issue to highlight here is the achievement of the integration of NEPAD into the structures of the AU during the reporting period. There's also been good progress made with the planning of key NEPAD infrastructure projects, including the North-South Road and Rail Corridor. And South Africa was also elected on the AU Peace and Security Council for a two-year term. And the AU's endorsement of South Africa's candidature for the non-permanent UN Security Council seat. But I think that saving the best for last is that the most recent announcement of South African success in terms of obtaining candidacy of the AU Commission is perhaps one of the greatest achievements in this regard. And then regarding regional integration, we believe that good progress has been made in terms of consolidating the SADC Free Trade Agreement. And we report good progress in terms of the fact that 92% of South African product lines are now 0% rated compared to 85% in 2009. And the behind-the-scenes agreement, the discussions that inform this immense work that must be commended. Then regarding the reform of global governance institutions, there's quite good progress that has been made regarding at least three key institutions. It's the World Bank, where an executive director position has been created for South Africa, Nigeria, and Angola. Good progress made regarding the IMF and the G20 agreement on the need to reform IMF, and I believe the role of African countries in this regard. And then good progress made as well in terms of the UN Security Council, and progress made in terms of moving reform from a discussion reform to a formal negotiation process with specific decision points. And then the trade and investment, there's also been very good progress there. Our view is that as at the time of reporting, inward foreign direct investment had been improving, and that there's improvement in high value-added exports and number of tourists. This is commendable given the global economic climate and the fact that we've been able relatively to keep our head above water in this regard. And then lastly, as I mentioned earlier on, the successful hosting of COP17 and obtaining of agreements in this regard is to be commended. Going forward, what we recommend for the remainder of the term is further consolidation of the African agenda, and our view is that in this regard it will be key to strengthen structures and promote unity and cohesion of the region and continent. And our recent announcement, I think, will contribute towards this as reported. There is also a need to continue to assess an independent African view in international platforms. And then regarding regional integration, our view is that for the remainder of the term, the SADC free trade agreement must be further consolidated to ensure that we drop remaining trade barriers. And that most importantly, we promote industrial development in SADC and we leverage complementarity using a value chain approach that links, that is also linked to the NEPAD infrastructure project. Regarding the reform of global governance institutions, for the remainder of the term, campaigning for another seat for Africa in the IMF, beyond the three that I mentioned, a continued call for aid and fundamental reform of the UN Security Council, and then regarding the World Trade Organization, ensuring that we build alliances with partners to reclaim the development mandate that launched the negotiations. And then lastly, with the trade and investment, it's essential about how best we can leverage additional investment from targeted economies. Lastly, the creation of an effective and efficient public service. We say that in the midterm review, this is one of the fundamental things, backbone really, for ensuring that all of these outcomes achieved. In this regard, we believe that there are significant examples of improvements in service delivery by public servants or departments, but this is not yet widespread. For example, the Department of Home Affairs has made significant progress in addressing waiting and turnaround times. In previous years, we used to wait for about 100. The average time for waiting for IDs was 127, and we're currently sitting at 47 days. This is really significant progress. Sorry? Yes. OPEC longer. SASA, the South African State Social Security Agency, has also made progress in terms of the processing of social grants, say from 30 to 9 days. And then the South African Police Service as well, the reaction times for serious crimes has moved from a high number of 50 minutes to about 18 minutes. So our view is that this is commendable progress. Through the leadership of the DG, we've engaged some of the institutions I've highlighted here and have concluded case studies for what about these institutions has contributed to such significant results, mainly to ensure that, as I mentioned earlier on, we contribute towards the culture of continuous improvement and ensure that other critical departments learn from this process. As I mentioned earlier on, the health sector has also made significant progress in terms of auditing health facilities around quality norms and standards and implementing improvement plans to address identified gaps. As I mentioned earlier on, these are very notable improvements, but our view is that they could be more widespread than they are right now. And part of us embarking on case studies and engaging and spreading the message is about ensuring that that happens. On average, less than 3% of funded posts are vacant. But there are particular shortages in terms of professional and technical. The other issue is where positions are filled, we can't always guarantee, as I mentioned, in the local government outcomes, that the people that are on board have got the requisite qualifications and skills. Yes. And then the time taken to fill vacant posts has also improved from 9 months to 6 months. The national target is 4 months. And we are currently not meeting this, but we acknowledge that progress has been made.
I don't know what
the
smiles are saying, but you can continue.
I can continue. Okay. I'm protected. Thank you. The financial and human resource management delegations have also been developed to enable quicker decision making in departments. Here I must slightly preempt the discussion to say that the dilemma we also face, especially in sectors like, for example, the health sector, is that there sometimes will be delegations in place, but they are not always uniformly applied. So even if there are delegations in place, you still do find instances, for example, like the case in Charleston, where really there seems to be a management issue. And in a sector where there are delegations, the universal or standardized application of that remains cause for concern. There are new regulations for monitoring of supply chain management to ensure payment to suppliers and facilities. But as members are well aware, this remains a significant area of concern. And it's a matter of the extent to which we can inculcate a culture within departments of ensuring that there are proper management systems in place to ensure that we meet this target, because currently it's not being met. 74% of national departments received unqualified audits in 2010-2011, which is an improvement from 66% in 2009 and 2010. But the cause for concern here is that there's been regressions in certain regards, especially with provinces and certain departments. And then lastly, DPME, National Treasury, DPSA, and Offices of the Premier, who are at the center really, are assessing the quality of management practices in departments. And as members will be aware, we have got a comprehensive process as DPME called the MPEG process. And in response to identified gaps, improvement plans are being taken through and monitored. Almost last slide. For the remainder of the term, we recommend that we resolve the long-standing issue of a single public service, which has been in the discussion stage for some time. Secondly, we recommend that we improve the service delivery quality and access and draw lessons from best practices, as I mentioned earlier on, such as home affairs. And then secondly, that we ensure that all departments have service standards and improvement plans. Currently, only 78% of departments comply. And in our MPEG process, we found an even more disturbing picture in this regard, as members will recall in recent discussions, and we are working with departments to address this. There is also a need for the remainder of the term to focus on recruitment of professional and technical staff. Most importantly is to ensure that performance agreements for HODs are submitted to the Public Service Commission. There is cause for concern still in this regard, and the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation has been working with various stakeholders like the Public Service Commission to look at how we can strengthen this process. There is also a need to reduce the turnaround time on disciplinary cases. Currently, a cause for concern that people are often placed on suspension for a very long period of time, and where there are disciplinary cases, they could often, more often than not, they drag for far longer than they should. We also need to ensure that 100% of senior managers disclose their private interests we need to also set up a system for verifying disclosures and eliminating any potential risk of conflict of interest. This remains cause for great concern. There is also a need to fast track the implementation of regulations to pay suppliers within 30 days, because the current picture is cause for great concern. There is also a need to address deteriorating provincial audit results. As I mentioned in the previous slide, there has been a regression in the provincial space regarding audit results. And then lastly, there is a need to deal with cases reported on the anti-corruption hotline. Currently, national departments have only finalized 70% of cases, and provincial departments have performed slightly better with 78% of their cases dealt with. Chairperson, I'd like to end here. I apologize, there's no thank you on the slide, but I thank you for your attention.
If I may just add a couple of points, Chairperson. The first point is that this is a midterm review which was done up to the end of 2011. So when Nawazi was saying in her presentation, when she was saying to date and currently, she meant up to the end of 2011. It's not literally currently now. The second point I'd like to make is just, Renette will probably talk about this a bit more when she talks about the development indicators, but in the area of local government and basic services, the progress with regard to water provision is based on reported progress with regard to delivery of water infrastructure, particularly distribution infrastructure, the pipes and the taps. But since then we've been raising concerns, and it's been discussed as well in cabinet, that only gives you a partial picture, because due to the problems with maintenance and operation that Nawazi talked about, there's a growing problem of the functionality of the infrastructure that's put in. So although we've got a reported increase in terms of access to infrastructure, there's a problem that some of that infrastructure is not working because of functionality. Either the water is not of the required quality or some of the taps don't have water coming out at all. Then the last point I'd like to just make is that this midterm review report focuses on progress against the targets which were set by government for itself in 2009. So it's a review by the executive of its own progress against its own targets that it set for itself, and that's its focus. And those targets that you will see throughout the midterm review for all the outcomes were all captured in the delivery agreements for the 12 outcomes, which are on our website. And the focus of the progress is against those targets for those indicators which were set in 2009 for these 12 outcomes. So in that regard, the midterm review is we can't say it's a comprehensive review of all the current issues, because it's got this focus on progress against the targets which were set in 2009. And there are some important issues which are not covered in the midterm review, which, for example, some of them have been raised since by the National Planning Commission and are covered in the National Planning Commission's report, which is now being tabled in Parliament. So, for example, if you look at the outcome of an efficient and effective public service, the National Planning Commission's report discusses and covers some issues which we don't cover in this midterm review because they weren't part of the targets that were set in 2009. For example, it raises issues about the possibility of the Public Service Commission playing a stronger role in the recruitment of public servants in the future. It makes some suggestions for measures to be taken to improve procurement in national and provincial government as a major priority for an efficient and effective public service. And it also makes some proposals for the creation of the head of the public service. So I just wanted to explain why some of those issues, which are very important issues, are not covered by this midterm review. It's because the midterm review is very much a process of the executive assessing itself against its own targets that it set for itself in 2009. So it doesn't include some of the current key issues. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. You estimated that this presentation will take about 45 minutes at the most. Just taking 1 hour, 20 minutes. thank you very much. It's an important presentation. Honourable members, no, honourable staff isn't here anything, so you can't raise your hand. Okay, honourable staff, we did get your apology. Honourable members, this is a new terrain for us. As you might recognize that, I mean, it covers everything that government is doing. So I'm sure the intention is not to deal with each and every, what you call it, department in detail. I think that ourselves, now, because we're beginning to deal with a real, what you call it, issue, we need to find, work out a strategy of how to deal with this so that, in fact, as the presentation was being made, I was thinking, I'm sure all of us were thinking the approach in future. If you still here in future. But now, I see the end. I don't know if it will be fine if we say, let us deal with, I guess that the presentations were based on outcomes. If we deal with one outcome at a time, we have up to 12:30, we also really have to find a way of how do we ensure that at least we finish this midterm review report. That's why I'm saying 12:30 with us. Sorry? So let us say 12 now. Oh, I thought the last one I was saying 12:30. Well, okay. I think that then we will not want to call it DG take your development indicator. Not any case, but honourable members, honourable Swart, honourable Matagana, honourable. No, it's fine. I hate those words. Honourable Snell. Okay, honourable Swart, can I take Dr. Van Dijk?
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, the question I want to ask is, you know, covers all issues. It's not specific. So I don't know, with your permission, that I want to make a statement and then ask a question. Listen to the presentation, Chair. The Department for Monitoring and Evaluation. You mentioned a lot of issues. There are many, many bullets covering a lot of disciplines and a lot of issues that need to be monitored, that need to be evaluated. And that some areas you express your satisfaction, you know, like with trade and investment. In other areas with local government, there are a lot of concerns. And at the end of the day, that's been said by the DG, it is a review of the target set by government. Now, taking all these issues into account, and the very last page, the monitoring and evaluation should at some stage culminate in recommendations. But I found it strange that there's only 7 bullets under your recommendation. Now, there are so many other issues that need to be addressed, that needs attention, that need to be improved. And my question is, what is the way forward between the Department for Monitoring and Evaluation and all these other different departments? Because a lot of departments are involved. You know, not for us just to take cognizance and to make recommendations, but where does a recommendation go to? Where does it end at the end of the day? And what will be the end? end result of the presentation of these recommendations or the information that we received today? You know, is it just a technical or a academic exercise, or what happens at the end of the day, so that year after year it is not just a review of certain issues that improved and other issues that got worse, but you know, to move forward and to move ahead. Can you just elaborate on what can we expect and what do you expect? Or does it end in this room? All the recommendations that you discuss. Thank you.
Thank you, mine is sometimes I should have given you the time maybe to go through the I'm talking about Honorable Dr. Fernandes. Maybe I should have started with it. I should have allowed him time to not digest the presentation, you know. It's very clear that he was not here at the beginning. But continue.
Very much. Thank you for the presentation. It was very enlightening, and I think that we agree with what I would say 99% of the things you say, because there is no other argument. You know, and there are problems, and these problems need to be resolved. But you know, what worries us is, you know, when will they be resolved, and how will they be resolved? And I'm just wondering whether, from DPME's side, you will also, you know, specifically on the 12 outcomes, dealing with the portfolio committees who are responsible for those specific items. In other words, we will see those portfolio committees and make sure that they are aware of the problems which occur within that area, and that they take action to make sure that those things do happen and something happens. Just a side remark here about the single public service. I think we shouldn't have had a better example than the Department of Basic Education in the purple, and that's the reason why we shouldn't have a single public service just by the fire. Just on the last slide, Chair, it says ensure 100% of senior managers disclose their private interests, verify disclosures, and eliminate any potential risk of conflict of interest. I've also read, you know, what you said about fighting corruption and so on. But one of the things that is occurring more and more these days is that officials are contracting with the state, and that leads to corruption. We know, for instance, that there's 150 policemen in TAPS that have contracts with government to build police stations for the police. You know, that's not acceptable, because you've got a conflict of interest, as mentioned here. I'm just wondering whether DPME could maybe elaborate on how they view the question of employers, you know, contracting with the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Honourable Chair, and let me thank the presenter on all ranging issues. Now, for myself, Chair, from reluctancy to more moderate, lukewarm, I want to say that we did say that we still have to define our relationship with the department. But having listened to the presentation, overall presentation, I think that it perhaps for me call on us for a little bit more detailed discussion with the department. I think that I don't think the time available is going to do justice to these presentations, because it covers almost every department. And having said that, Chair, because I think we would probably have to first be educated by what they say as narrative, because here we're talking about the slides, the narrative that informs these, in order for us to be a little bit intelligent in engaging and disagreeing. I think my colleague here says there's no other view. I wasn't sure what you said. There was no other arguments, so we agree. The only way to develop that is when we are being educated more around the detail of drilling a little bit down in what informs a particular perspective. For an example, there is a, just for me to be clear, there is a, what is presented in the slide as what the progress is to date and what is. And then from there it then says the recommendation. When you look at the recommendation that has been presented against the background of the progress today, you see a different language emerging. A different language emerging, is it because of probably what informs the different language emerging is what is recorded as a progress to date and the concerns unspoken to by monitoring and evaluation. Perhaps some point it's more explicit about the target, that the target are set low, they need to be interrogated more. So all these for me would require to get into. Sorry, Chair, and I'm sure I'm frustrating my colleague here because I'm getting longer to develop my point. The point I'm making is that I think that the recommendation, I want to understand the recommendation and the date, I mean the progress to date. You're setting up the recommendation, what must be done in the next, the remainder of the time, to accelerate this and the other because of the concern at some point around what has been achieved. Now, we would need to get a little bit into that discussion. I was looking at the strength of water, for an example. I don't have information, but from where I'm sitting, I have a disagreement with the 95% that has been suggested. I have difficulties in accepting that as correct, but I'm hesitant to say so because I don't have been informed properly. Because if I only look at our oversight program and look at what we have seen in terms of our report, whether it's a visit to Limpopo or whether it is, it can't be accurate. That means somewhere in terms of the information that gives you that particular perspective, somehow there's a tweaking in the department, not necessarily yours, because you're using the department information based on the performance agreement. If I look at the steps around the issues of, if I look at the police that you presented some steps to the police, and I hesitate to say, but that can't be accurate, because participating in two, I understand some of the things that is more deeper than that. But because it's a presentation that is given to you and you're getting it in this way. So, Chair, all I'm saying is that we need a little bit more time, that's why I'm raising this question, to get in detail of it. But I think it's the good work that has been done to at least pull things together by the monitoring evaluation and make an integrated presentation. I have the issue about health. The issue about health and the problem around health and what has been reported here, including what the minister said over the weekend. I know that this talks to 2011, but the issues here, as you speak here, in terms of the professional issues, the skill in health is a serious matter. But in the glance of it, you can say, well, we're making a good progress. So my only, I'm commenting by the question is, the recommendation that you are putting forward, it is because of the concern, the underlying concern, with respect to what the department are saying they're achieving and what they have achieved so far, that you're now beginning to lift the bar a little bit. Is that the intention? if it is the intention, that's why I'm saying that we need a little bit more time to have some conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's true. Let me commend the department for coordinating with information the way they have for us. I was also battling, as you were, to try to understand how we're going to deal with this issue. I hear what Comrade Leonard is saying and other members have spoken. He'll hear it, I'm sorry. What they said previously, but to me, Chair, what we would need to do, I think what Mr. Phillips had said about the current key issues as well, we need to have those reduced to writing, because the way I see it, we're not going to have the capacity to be able to verify this information. I don't believe so. So I think we have to take this information factual at face value. And then what we would need to do is, I think we would need to make our own findings and recommendations based on what the findings and recommendations are here. And then the various departments must inform their portfolio committees how they're going to achieve what has been deemed to be shortfalls and with what budget they're going to use it in the remainder of the term, so that we can assist each other in that respect. And then there's just one thing I wanted to raise outside of that. You know, we're speaking about the intervention bill, but the intervention bill, in my limited understanding of what it wants to achieve, would be to give some kind of mechanism to Section 100 and Section 139. But the weakness in that is that you basically have to wait for provincial departments and municipalities to kind of collapse before you actually intervene. So where can you play a role in between those entities and municipalities not being able to deliver a service?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. It really enlightened us and made us think of our own approach in this matter. Because as we learned, this is a report based on the information until November. And after that, we had consultations where we knew about the every new department like this one, it comes as a threat to existing departments. And there's going to be that issue of saying what approach and relationship should be built with existing departments. And before the debate, the department your department referred to that a certain bill, which we think was going to make issues easier, where the department must also understand and assist us. Because here, I think, much as it's a lot of work, I think with us dealing with expenditure and the department monitoring and evaluating progress, somewhere we are going to be achieving our objectives as a department, because we'll be as a committee, because we'll be looking at the expenditure pattern at the same time when we get information about how those departments are performing, and the communication with the departments, and especially the ministers. We must learn that as a department and accounting officer, or maybe with the executive officers, they are going to sit down and look at all those gaps which we are aware are there and which are limited in your recommendations. I think that will help us a lot, because it will also enable us to do our work, and it will also need a lot of more longer deliberations with the department, unlike a few hours and rushing to go another way. I think a sort of longer interventions and focusing will assist us. And I think we've also set the number of departments that you presented to us are quite a lot. If we had just looked at those, we know there are more than five, but if we could have focused a lot, like in education, we'll have known that we are focusing on something and this is what we can come out with. And when talking about COPTA, I wasn't happy because there's an element there called SALGA. If we can know the role of SALGA in everything that is happening, because we are talking about service delivery here, and it goes down to local government, and the role of SALGA, I think the department will assist us in knowing exactly what they are doing, how they are using their funds, because without SALGA getting involved and assisting us in capacitating all those councillors which are under them and the municipalities, we are just going to run around cycles, because service delivery will be difficult in the instances where SALGA is totally not mentioned.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. I think we must identify where will the focus be for the next 5 to 10 years. And I think perhaps education, agriculture, and rural development and economic justice, that will be the focus. Now, my point is to add to what Thomas Lutz said, that is the question of, I missed also, perhaps I missed here, is did you focus on the mining sector? Just ask that, of course, that we experience at this place. My question is that we visited 2 years ago at last year these places. The situation, the reality is that if you look around the mines, the people are still staying in the places that is not good. I think that will be a focus area that we also have to look at. But here, my point is, the question I want to ask is, we sit with a lot of skills in South Africa. We sit with people whose heart is in South Africa and is willing to assist. Do we have a central database where we can say, listen, here is people in that area who have the skills, who is loyal towards South Africa and who is willing to assist? My view is I think that it is time that perhaps we also, make use of that list and make use of people who are on a basis that would be in their interest, especially in the local government and especially also in the agriculture. Chair, I will stay with that.
Well, I'm not on the
you're saying you can't hear.
Sorry.
Oh, I see you pointing. I thought that you're disturbing me now. I thought that.
I didn't recognize one of the members.
No. I thought about that. Now we'll address that once we come.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Sorry
about that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Comrade.
Thank you.
it is not enough for us to look into this tonight and where this sentence is headed. We don't know how we are going to do it, how are they going to do it. Because definitely one thing written here is something that we know, something that we know was coming that is going to happen. Now this, when is it, how is it going to be done? What are the projects? Yes. How are we going? When and how are we going to achieve it? Because if we have to judge or to evaluate them and what the system is, we need to have that kind of sense of this is what we will do at that time, so on and so forth. I think that you can go on and on with all this. Things that can be done to make department of education different than any other department that is in that manner. I think all of us will have a similar problem with what has been raised by Honorable Ramasagani in terms of understanding where you come from. At this stage, I'm saying no, I'm not talking about the department because you have now this is your presentation, meaning that you own and you can depend what this department is saying. I think that. Now, if it's like this, we don't know how these figures, how you have arrived on these figures. For instance, health, police, how have you arrived on these figures? If, for instance, you talk about the readiness of the police, if you can all move out of this house and go to the nearest police station in Langa, maybe let's not say Langa, nearest police station in the village, or anyone in the township or site, and you report, go in there and report that there is a crime that is taking place. This 18, and I don't know, so the number that has been, you say it has been reduced for the number, from that number to that number. Yes. We don't know. How is that possible? How can you arrive at that calculation? So it's going to be difficult for us, and I know that the department is new, but the department also has its own budget, and it must develop its own capacity to test what they get from the department before they come to us. So that you can say you are the custodian, you own it, you can defend it anyway. You can go on to the water, targets that have been for water, I think it's about 90 people. With us, it's a different case because we also look at their spending patterns on these projects. And the spending patterns with what is written here, they don't tally. Because if you understand, you are not spending, and you have been consistent. Tons of problems, and when you come to report, almost more than 90% there's a problem. And then it's the same with the department, I mean with the
that we have are for
going to be doing that. Not only abroad, but in both, yes, and outside learning. I understand this one, this one. It's very interesting of the department. But it needs to be budget as well. Otherwise, we will not be doing it.
I'm sorry, Honorable Swap. From the beginning, in fact, I did not introduce we have the human that has just joined us. On Friday, you were there on Friday, yes, that's when she came to our meeting for the first time. She is replacing Honorable Lee. The name of the colleague is Honorable Adina Tandiwem Fula. It's Honorable Swart. I didn't like the way you. Yes, sorry about that. So, she's our new colleague, but she understands that as an ANC member, there's no time to set completely.
Thank you. What I picked up from the report is to say, and I think what another person in Nigeria said, government on the way with this. This is what like they took a report that addressed from the department, and they didn't go themselves and verify that report or have checks around one of the things. The second thing is to say, I thought that they are the ones who need to monitor and evaluate what is happening. They can also come to some of the suggestions to say, in terms of what is happening currently, they must be, it should not be a high, like they're saying it's a high level report. It should be a report that we can deal with facts that are there and we know what are the challenges. So that we can be able to make input into the challenges that they verify themselves and also make some suggestions, proposals to say what needs to happen. I was also looking at education. They say there are supposed to teach us to be able to teach English. And when we look, we deal with language board or whatever, the pencil, they are talking that we should be making sure that people know their own language before. Your language that you speak at home before you can even learn another second language. Now for me, already there's already two different meanings in terms of education. We are saying teachers should teach English at a younger age. In the meantime, there's other that the children should know, they learn better in their own language before they can go to the second language. What are we saying here? So those are some of the things that I pick up today. It becomes a serious challenge today. We will be supporting the other one, and the other one will be again with the contracting ourselves. In terms of artisan youth development, again, and now I'm questioning myself, in terms of where are the teachers for you? Because teachers are training and training and training every year, there's a report for teachers. And then we keep on saying there's a lack of skills. So it's part of education. We're talking about ABET, part of education. So I don't see it being reported here. In terms of ABET, the way I've seen, I'm not a question, the way I've seen ABET being done, I'm just questioning myself. That's why maybe people don't want to belong to ABET. Because you'll find that they're still going to be taught like a grade A, and when I in the meantime, you understand certain issues. So it's the kind of education that you're giving to the ABET that makes people want to become, want to belong to ABET. Because it, for me, it's like you are still sitting in like a low person who does not understand what is happening. So we also need to look at those things. That's some of the challenges. So that whatever. In terms of health, when I grew up, at the education department, at school, we used to have a nurse at school. That nurse would come once a week or twice a week at school. So, in a way, I don't see it linking. Now I'm talking about linking. I don't see linking health. We are talking to say there's a challenge in health, but there is no mechanism of linking that together to make sure that when you talk about health from the young age, children, or because when people know from the young age, in Botswana they say, it simply means you learn from a child. Sometimes an older person learns from a child. So if that is going to be happening in school, that for me that's going to be. So we don't have haphazard issues. And I consider the 122 medical colleges that are being there. And there's also a cry to say, because some of the colleges were closed, there's a challenge in terms of health issues being really rolled out. Are we on par with that with this thing? In terms of corruption, how do we educate the community to come on board to make sure that they are part of and parcel of in crime and job creation? Are we talking about the EPWP job creation of 12 months, 6 months, and it's finished? Do we call that job creation? Or are we talking about long-term jobs? And when we talk about job creation, the EPWP facility, it's working very good. But when I sit back from, you know, like an ordinary citizen, I don't see the impact that is happening. So do we go outside and talk to the community to find out, is it making impact? Because all I see is a lot of tenders. After tenders, everybody wants to have a piece of cake, so we underpay people. So at the end of the day, still not a job creation. I need to talk about monitoring. So you need to monitor things that are there that make good. In terms of human settlement, I'm asking myself, when we link health, we link food security and all those things. And every time when we build houses for communities, they don't even have a space in their own yard just to have a small garden that they can utilize. So it means how we do our special, in terms of, we still do it according to the apartheid era, that when we build human settlement or when we build houses for people, they have to be small. But we want these people to be able to plow into their yard. I don't think it gives them a bigger space. So those are some of the things that I'm saying. Somewhere, somehow, our planning is very skewed in terms of human settlement. And we need to look at those things. And then in terms of basic services, are we monitoring municipalities that they are really working? It simply means we are waiting for people to have the uproar, to strike, then we want to go and invest. But you'll find that as monitoring and evaluating, we need to go deeper. And because you're monitoring, is it what they're saying on the paper the truth? Then you'll find. So we need to come deeper into the field. I think I will stop there, Chukwuka. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Commissioner. I think that I'm sure from the first question, right, there has been what you call, I mean, there's
situation that you are sitting in. I mean, that's why I hear from the first question from Honorable Dr. Francis, that this recommendation, I was just looking at the end of each chapter, for instance, myself, that the issue, you correct me, the commitment of the department in the recommendation. I think that's what seems to be asked, but when you raise this flag issue. Now the department, for instance, in education, you raise the issue as this report came out in it was finalized in March. But you will correct me, I'm not sure when you had the engagement with departments like education, because clearly you flagged down, for example, the issue of timely delivery of the, what you call, in your recommendation, timely delivery of workbooks and textbooks. You flagged it as any as that time. So I think that question becomes very relevant to say you raised this recommendation. What kind of feedback do you get from the department that this will happen? And I think that the honorable members have really covered a lot in terms of saying the, at the beginning, I was saying we are embarking on a new terrain. Of a relationship with yourself. Now, Honorable Swap, first, for instance, do the portfolio committees have access to this report? Maybe that question, same question, put differently is, maybe we need to have a strategy as the CPMP of saying, how do you reach out to each portfolio committee, that kind of way. So that portfolio committee, you say, this is a midterm report of your, what you call it, your department. So that the members then, and these are our recommendations, I think they've got good recommendations. But I think that if somebody must monitor these recommendations, and if you go there to a department, to a portfolio committee, clearly the department will be there as well to say, well, in terms of this recommendation, this is what we're going to take. Because this recommendation, we don't know. If there are recommendations and the feedback from the department, how does that feedback relate to the budget, for instance, of moving forward, to say, so that we can really know what we but I think that we have done a lot of work, for instance, if you say that the department reports that we have what you call it, access to water because there is infrastructure, but whether there's water coming out of the tap, is something else. So clearly, I think that's another issue. And one issue, the other issue that I have myself picked up from the report that you are raising, which also worries me, I think as a person and maybe all of us as a committee, is the rural development. And I see it here that you're saying, for instance, the role of rural development doesn't seem to be very clear, seems to be overlapping on the other department doing this program. The department is doing the same program. It's a worrying, what you call it, issue, because sometimes it may cause confusion, you know, who is responsible for what. Is the department a functional department, or is it for the role of the coordination?
maybe it's something that moving forward, it's a new department. I think that your recommendation that say moving forward, maybe something that they need to examine, so that if there's no delivery in creating this emerging farmers, we know where the responsibility lies. Does it lie with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation? Does it lie with the Department of Agriculture? I think the issues that you're raising are important, but then the question is the feedback, all the coordination, your rural, what you call it, you said, cost, all those kind of things they need. So I think that's maybe what we would want to know, it is the feedback from the department, and how is that feedback? Is it compiled in a book form so that we can be able to say, here's the feedback, and then how do we hold people accountable to it? I don't want to overemphasize the issue of the capacity of the department. We raise it from day one, which is the issue of the capacity of the department to deal with this. Maybe over to yourself. You've got only 20 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, Honourable Members, for the inputs. I would just like to make a few points, and then I'd like to ask my colleagues to also add. Firstly, to answer several of the inputs, I'd like to just talk a bit about the process that we engaged in to produce this midterm review within government, and what happened after it was produced. We engaged intensively with all the departments to produce this midterm review. We not only collected data from them and from other sources, but we also gave the departments opportunities to give their views to us on what we were saying, and to correct anything that which they thought we were saying that was wrong. And we engaged with debates often with the senior officials in many of the departments about our criticisms and our views on the progress and challenges. And I think that process in itself was a value-adding process, and that as a result of it, there was more consensus and recognition in governments and amongst departments, particularly with regard to the challenges. If we had just asked departments for reports and taken their reports, I think it would, the midterm review would not be nearly as frank about the challenges as it is. We then presented the midterm review to Cabinet, and there was debate about it in Cabinet and discussion about it. And it was agreed in Cabinet that in the process of reviewing the delivery agreements, which is now almost complete, departments need to address the challenges identified in the midterm review. In this process, what we find is that some departments have taken on board the challenges identified more than others. Some of them have already acted to accelerate their work to address the challenges, to make sure that some of the 2014 targets which are not likely to be met will be met. And I think the process has been successful and added value in some important areas. For example, Chairperson, you raised the issue of rural development and our critiques of the approach to rural development. Some of our critiques to the approach to rural development from 2009 to date, and the department has taken that on board and is currently engaging in the process of putting much more focus on a role of integrating and coordinating the work of all the different government agencies in rural areas and that is a result, that partly as a result of our discussions with the department and our suggestions that the department should explore playing that kind of role, and that's something which isn't happening sufficiently in rural areas, and that the department could play a key role in terms of facilitating rural development by playing that role of making sure that all the work of all the different national and provincial departments and municipalities and other agencies in rural areas is better coordinated and integrated. And also perhaps playing a planning role at district level in rural areas so that the investments that are made are more likely to result in sustainable development. But we also agree with the suggestion by some of the members that it's very important for all the different parliamentary committees to play a role in trying to make sure that this kind of review has maximum impact and that all the departments do address the challenges identified. We would welcome the opportunity to be invited to the different committees which are responsible for all of these areas to make much more detailed presentations per outcome, and we think it would be very good if the departments could be there as well with us when we have those engagements with the committees. And we think it would be a very important role for the parliamentary committees to ask the departments. To respond to this report and for the departments to say what they're doing to address the challenges and to accelerate their work in the areas of challenges so that the targets are more likely to be met. So we would welcome the opportunity to work with Parliament to enable that to happen. On the issue of the sources of the data, we collect data from as many sources as possible. We don't only collect it from departments, and I'd like to ask Lynette to just give some examples of, if you look at the development indicators, and if you quite a few of the indicators that we've covered in this presentation are also in this development indicators book. And you'll see at the bottom of each of the indicators is a list of all the different sources that we get from. We get it from HSRC, various research organizations, South Africa, etc. So on an area like water supply, we're not only collecting from the department, we're collecting from a variety of sources, and we try to triangulate as much as possible. We will increasingly over time, we are increasing our capacity in the next section, we will increasingly over time with regard to the information that departments provide us, we're going to be doing audits of departments' information systems, and we're going to be making our own assessments of the quality of those information systems and therefore the degree to which we can rely on the information coming out of those systems. A couple of questions about issues which are important, which are not covered in here, for example, issues in the mining industry. And I just wanted to clarify that when the government in 2009 decided on having these 12 outcomes and the outcomes approach, it was partly informed by a view that to make government as a whole more effective, it needs to have strategic focus. That one of the weaknesses previously was the government tended to focus on too many things all at once and therefore not make enough progress on some of the most important things. So the idea with having a limited number of outcomes and focus on them is to produce detailed delivery agreements and targets for those outcomes was to have more strategic focus. So in order to have strategic focus, you have to not cover everything. You have to be more focused. So these outcomes don't cover everything, but it doesn't mean those other things are not important. And this is a report against those priority outcomes that we're focused on with the delivery agreement. If I can just say, with regard to municipalities and the issues raised around the intervention bill, we agree that constitutional intervention only takes place once a provincial department or municipality is really in a dire state. But we are engaging in various activities increasingly to together with our sister departments like Treasury, DPSA, to monitor provincial departments and municipalities so so that we have a better picture of what's going on long before things reach a dire state. So, for example, we've just last year started quite detailed assessments of the state of provincial departments and national departments through our management performance assessment tool, which is going to be done annually, which gives you quite a thorough snapshot picture of the state of management within a department. And we did 103 departments last financial year for that, and we're just starting the process now of redoing that. We're also just starting the process of doing that with municipalities as well. We're creating a new unit in the department. We've been working with National DCOG and Provincial DCOG and National Treasury to develop a similar tool for assessing the state of municipalities, the management practices and the state of service delivery in municipalities. We're going to be piloting that in a couple of municipalities this financial year, and then we want to roll it out next financial year, particularly focusing on those municipalities which have obtained the worst audit results recently. So we agree we need to monitor provincial departments and municipalities closely on an ongoing basis, and I think that would also help the intervention, because it'll mean that problems will be picked up quicker. Interventions, if necessary, can be introduced before things get very dire. This monitoring that I'm talking about at provincial and municipal level is also not just about monitoring for the sake of getting a picture. We also want to link it strongly to support programs, particularly with municipalities, and that's why we're going to do it very closely with National Provincial DCOG, so that the results of it can inform focused into support programs to municipalities. Colleagues, do you want to add on the data?
As members of parliament, we don't need scientists, a lot of scientists, researchers, to tell you that things are not happening. We go there ourselves, and the indicators that we come there are saying we are lacking in services. And the president himself has said those people are not just, we've never heard the president or the ANC condemning or any political party condemning the people who are protesting. The blame comes back on us. I think it will be important now that you are our committee. I think I've raised this thing when we had a workshop. Before you go to cabinet, when you get this report, before your report is finalized, you must see. Because when you go to cabinet, I can't see any minister. I don't see any minister who's going to say, I think things are not really happening. We'll say there are challenges because there's nothing that is 100%. But when it comes to details as to how these departments are performing, nobody is going to stand up and embarrass themselves or herself. But we, as the committee and the appropriation committee, people who know this is what has been allocated last year or 2007, and this is what has been spent, and these people are taking it. So I'm able to check. I don't say don't use your researchers and your scientists, your other scientists, but we don't need that. We go directly to people. And now that you are our committee, we will need to take you to this meeting. Ourselves. I said you must make an example. Just go. You can go to 5 police stations, and you remain behind. I go in with Noloazi, or you go there in Philippi and report and see what is going to happen, and then check whether these statistics are right. But of course, if where in the other areas you report about crime, you press. In fact, there are these neighborhood watch that are everywhere, and the police. So you just press one button, the response is there.
But you go to the township, it's a different ballgame. So I don't want you to underestimate when you tell you that there's something very wrong with this percentage of 94 or 95% of people having access to water. Because you go around the rural areas, there's no water there. There's no sanitation there. So immediately you underplay what you are saying. You want to compare what you are saying with what your researchers are saying. We won't go the same way. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I was just going to refer to the type of sources that you do use, the census data that's there. In terms of sanitation data, we know that there's the census data, there's mixed expenditure data, and the project data around mix that we use. There's internal sources in the Department of Water Affairs that have been audited by SACSA themselves as being verifiable sources. And then there's also the SACSA non-financial municipal audit. So those are the four sources. And most of the data that you see here is more than one source that comes in that has to sort of speak the same language to pick up on the pattern. I think part of the problem that we have is that the slowdown of services is now, if you can look at what's happening in sanitation, at cleaning water, at electricity rollout, it's difficult to reach the far-off rural areas. And that's why when we say that there's, like I say, an 84% or 82% access to sanitation at the end of 2011, it's the other components of people that are in the deep rural areas. It's very difficult to reach that. It's take much longer is the projection to reach those people than what it has been up to now. We also know that, unfortunately, in some of the cases, we talk about access to the physical infrastructure and that the maintenance of that physical infrastructure means that water is not actually always flowing. And we need to find a way of measuring where the water is flowing as opposed to where the tap is. And I think that's an important part. We also know that access to electricity often means that there are lightning in the streets, but it's not turned on by the municipalities because they haven't got the funds to pay where it's visible. So it's a difficult thing to try and get the absolute accurate numbers. We've developed a GIS system in the department where we can now specifically on geographical locations put the data down and then can then pick up what the citizens are. And I think that will be the next phase, and I can perhaps come and show the appropriation committee what that data is showing us. That's the next phase in accuracy of data.
I think that would be very useful. You know, because I think that what Honorable Busy again is saying is we must try to work together with as close information as possible, because we don't want also to stand up in Parliament and give some information that I can give a little challenge sometimes, but you know that yourself is not very sure.
Thank you very much for the presentation. We certainly found them very informative. Thank you for that. I'll just touch only on a few issues. Just in a
Okay,
you're eating into my 2 minutes. In addition to the process that the DG outlined of verification, what we've done is to look at also our capacity, as you correctly indicated, and our short to medium term plan is to seek resources that would enable us to identify only a target priority area where we can send or partner with organizations that can go with us or on our behalf to verify whether what is reported is as it should be, and secondly, whether there are potential areas for us to identify challenges and be able to proactively respond. For example, in recent times, this whole matter of ARV shortages in parts of Gauteng is something we feel is worth looking into. The DG has initiated the process for us to look at, you know, this whole issue around textbooks, not only in the Limpopo, but begin to think about
what might we be able to do in the short to medium term to be, get a better sense of what's happening on the ground and be able to preempt in a proactive way. So at a later stage when our plans are far more refined, we will be able to come back and just present on solely this very specific and focused approach of enhancing both the verification from science researchers and all that, but more importantly, going to the ground where appropriate and determining for ourselves where there is the challenges might be. Another one issue that I just wanted to add on is this whole issue around ensuring that we really do look at how departments take the way forward. As the DJ indicated, we engage the departments at length about what we were putting forward in terms of our assessment of progress. And that's what we did not highlight, what I didn't highlight when I was presenting, is that there are certain instances where we have made observations that departments are of course uncomfortable with, but in our view are an honest and frank assessment of how program is. You know, a department would perhaps categorize themselves as meeting a particular target, but in our view, if we feel they are not, and we've got the evidence based using what she was outlining, we say so. I can think of many examples that perhaps I can share with you when we have a longer discussion around each and every outcome. And secondly, as we mentioned, secondly, in our workshop, we indicated that outcomes facilitators work quite closely with departments, respecting the technical limits and the limits. And part of ensuring that this work gets taken forward, I think it was Dr. Swartz, it's about ensuring that this delivery agreement, or my colleagues, Dr. Sandy, and Honorable Dr. Swartz, it's about saying, yeah, it's about saying what about what we are finding in development should the department bear in mind going forward. We would not have done our job, and certainly with the digital guidance, what we seek to do is to say, if there are amendments to the delivery agreement, those amendments must be accompanied by amendments in government programming sections. So even at that layer, we are able to hold them accountable based on what we have identified as key problem areas in terms of under-targeting or under-performance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that the members have really indicated that we have found the presentation very educational, and I'm sure that it's going to be a source that we'll continue using. But just a small thing maybe that wasn't mentioned today that you in the response, could you say this day payment of your small one? Is very, very painful, you know. People go out of business, you know, they go under. And the problem is they don't care at them, you know, will pay, you know. And they are never upfront about their lack of not doing this. And we don't know how they could be action, because I remember a letter from years ago, I don't know, it was 2010 or when the department started, the minister, Chavane, wrote a letter, sent the letter out. And that letter means nothing. Several regulations, they mean nothing. You know, we're killing our, what you call it, the small people. But what we lack is the action, you know, that we should be doing that. And when we hear you raise points of not meeting our MPG, sometimes in health. But I think it's a very, very useful, what you call a document, a report that correctly members say it must not just be us only, so that the whole parliament must be able to monitor based on this, what you call a document. What is the progress and lack of progress since the production of this, what you call a document. If you want to close now.
Just very briefly, Chair, we are working closely with Treasury and EDD monitoring the payments of suppliers within 30 days, and we would we would welcome and appreciate the opportunity to give, to, if you could call us together with our two departments to give a detailed presentation on the issue.
I think that that's very important. But I want to say now, to with respect to the development indicators, I know on Friday you were supposed to again meet us in terms of your quarterly what you call it performance report. I don't know if we can only ourselves if I'm right according to the program. So I hope that you can be able to accommodate that, and I'm sure they will not be very different from this, what you call it, report. So you will still be accommodated.
Chair, of course, I can come on Friday. It is 8 months old, this report, and the new report is coming out in 4 months' time. So it's, I mean, the committee can decide if they would want me to walk them through some of the details here. It's pretty much the data that my colleague was using in the midterm review comes out of here. It's just broader and wider base of data. The new version is coming out at the end of November, the day to cabinet, it should be available in December.
Okay. And it's not necessarily an annual report also, because what I mean by annual report, I'm sorry, based on the financial, what you call January to December. Well, thank you very much, DG. Honourable members, we didn't make arrangements to continue with the discussion for after that's one thing that I forgot to mention to yourself, is that there will be a chairperson maybe articulate the possibility of what you are suggesting of more what you call it, getting more indications from different portfolio companies. Colleagues, I think that we have come to the end of this meeting. I know that I owe a report that we're not ready with commissioner. We're not ready with maybe tomorrow. Let's not give the report tomorrow when there are less programs talking around oversight with the department. Tomorrow I'm sure we'll be able to see a progress but today we're not ready yet to that report. I think that tomorrow's meeting we got a letter from issue of communications that they are requesting not to come tomorrow but to come to some other time because they are busy speaking to the entities of the department that are not standing, are responsible for not standing. So I think that with your permission they will not necessarily come, but National Treasury will be there tomorrow to present on the fourth quarter expenditure. And the meeting will start at 9:30. In terms of the program, you remember in terms of our fourth quarter report, National Treasury, one of those departments that understands. Now, one of the 9 departments that we have, they are reporting on. Who is that? The program? I think that I need to speak to them just to find out what is the date that they are requesting. Because ourselves, we don't have an open one, because it's an unending program.
what you must come back and tell us by tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
And then they're going to start a date with you.
Yeah, but it must be within what we want to finish and complete our report. Can't be. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The first quarter meeting. Communication. We call them for appropriation. And the issues they say they are addressing, when we want to see them, now are the ones that keep them away from us. They know from our meeting with them during the first quarter, during appropriation, that their entities don't spend. Now, because we want them, suddenly they make an appointment with their entities. This is very unacceptable. And they gave us a report that their things will be going very well, where they told us that during the first quarter, God will have spent unreasonably. So, really, they can't do that. They know they do oversight on these entities. It can't be for today when we want to see them about their underestimation.
Chair, I agree with Honourable Mashingo. I think they must have given the date as to when they will be available within the next 2 weeks, I would say. So that we. Well, you know, then within the next week, because we, you know, they can't get away with it by just saying that, you know, they work with the entity. It's not acceptable. Because we want to see them, we want to know what's there. That expenditure was really bad in communication. That's the one thing, Chair. The other thing is just tomorrow's meeting. What is the venue for tomorrow's meeting? We haven't received that yet.
The venue for tomorrow's meeting?
Yeah.
Oh my God, well, my luck, but I'll have to know what.